Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches his people about life in the kingdom of God.
People who suffer what they suffer because of the kingdom of God and because of their love for the king, and the people who respond to all their suffering in life by turning toward the king and running to him as their refuge instead of turning away from him. Blessed are those people because they will be comforted. And this word translated comfort, oh, it's a beautiful word. It's when it's used in the context of mourning, just means very simply to put an end to the mourning, put an end to the grief. But it's also a very personal word. The literal meaning of the word is to approach or to be next to. To approach or be next to is a very personal word. It means to put an end to the suffering, not just by shutting off the source of the pain, but by drawing up right up next to the person and comforting them with your presence. That's what the word means. And if you've ever been around very many people who've really suffered, you know, I mean, they've really gone through a horrific tragedy and they're down and you try and come and comfort them, if you've ever tried that much, you know that we have very limited success in our efforts to comfort the grieving, don't we? It's a very hard thing to do. Someone loses a loved one or something, you go and try and make them feel better. It's just hard. It's hard for us. It's not hard for God. When God draws near a grieving person to comfort him, he never fails. He never tries to comfort and fails. One of the sweetest titles for God in all of Scripture is the one in 2 Corinthians 1:3 where he's called the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. He's the source of comfort. It's easy for him. Luke 6:21 says, "Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh." What is that talking about? Is that talking about laughing out of amusement? No. It's talking about laughing for joy. And that's amazing because if you're like me, if you just kind of scan over your whole life and think of all the instances of laughter, probably 99% plus of our laughter is over something that's just funny, right? Something's funny and we laugh. Not very often do we laugh out loud just out of sheer joy, just sheer happiness. I mean, you have to be awfully happy to laugh out loud out of happiness, even when nothing's funny, right? Because even the best things on this earth usually aren't that good. In the age to come, they will be. You just laugh out of pure joy. That's what it's talking about. Jeremiah 31:12. They will come and shout for joy in the heights of Zion, and they will be radiant over the goodness of the Lord. Isaiah 65, you will look and be radiant, and your heart will throb and swell with joy. We're just going to be beaming with happiness, feelings of happiness in the age to come. Our joy and our laughter and our rejoicing in the age to come will be more than just feelings of joy, and it's going to be more than just God drawing near to us. There's also going to be the joy that's going to come be communicated to us through created delights, just like we have now in this world. And Jeremiah 31:12 says they will be radiant over the goodness of the Lord, and then it describes the goodness of the Lord. The grain and the new wine and the oil and the young of the flocks and herds. Now, back then, those descriptions, that was a description of riches, wealth. God's goodness will be lavished on us through created things that are wonderful and delightful, that are similar to the wonderful, delightful created things that we have in this world. And that's worth thinking about. I hope you don't think of heaven as just being some kind of a wispy, airy, ethereal, kind of ghostly, dreamy cloudland where you're sort of half in existence and it's just an abstraction and there's anything like football or skiing or rafting or beaches or mountains or castles or race cars or golden corrals or, you know. Scripture constantly uses physical created delights to describe what the age to come is going to be like. Heaven will not be in the clouds. We're going to have resurrected physical bodies. There's going to be a new heaven, a new earth. We are going to live on a physical earth forever with physical bodies as you can touch. And we're going to be touching stuff, tasting stuff, seeing stuff, and we're going to love it. It's going to be, there will be all kinds of fantastic things there. Things a lot like the things that you love here and now on this earth, except way better. And then on top of that, on top of the happiness, the feelings of happiness and the created delights, there's also going to be thriving. Look at verse 12 of that Jeremiah passage. It says, they will be like a well-watered garden and they will sorrow no more. In this life, you have some tastes of what thriving and flourishing is like, but very limited. While you're young, you kind of thrive a little bit, but only in limited measure. Even young people, it seems like you start feeling the pains of going downhill, even while you're still feeling some of the pains of growth pains. So, I mean, there's a really small window in there when you feel good. Isaiah said, even when we were young, we were groaning under the curse. Even youths grow weary, and even young men stumble and fall. But when our comfort comes, we will flourish and thrive in ways far beyond anything you ever experienced in your 20s. You will flourish, and you will keep flourishing forever. Verse 13, the maidens will dance and be glad, and young men and old men as well. I will turn their mourning into gladness, and I will give them comfort and joy instead of sorrow. That's what's coming for us. That's what we look forward to. So our comfort is in the age to come. However, the age to come is actually already breaking in on this present age, right? It's overlapping a little bit. So to the degree that you experience closeness with God now in your life, you can experience tastes of the rewards of the age to come now, here and now. That's why we can have joy in this life instead of only suffering. You know, after all this that I've said about mourning, we mourn over this, we grieve over that, and we're moaning and groaning and grieving and mourning and suffering and sorrowing and crying, and you say, wow, that sounds miserable. What about joy? What about all the joy in life? Well, we don't experience joy from this present age, but we do have access to the joy of the age to come because the age to come is already breaking in upon this present age. And for that, because of that, we can have joy even in this life. And our life is to be a life of joy. Jesus said, blessed are the mourners, not blessed are the mopers. And he doesn't want us walking around in the midst of our mourning just down all the time and glum and miserable and depressed. Our lives are to be characterized by joy more so than by sorrow. That's why in 2 Corinthians 6:10, you say, well, how can you have sorrow and joy simultaneously? How can you have them both at the same time? Well, Paul did, 2 Corinthians 6:10. He said he was sorrowful yet always rejoicing. That's our life. That's what it's like to be a citizen of the kingdom. Sorrowful in this present age, yet always rejoicing because I'm tasting the age to come. You can experience godly sorrow and godly rejoicing simultaneously, and the rejoicing is greater than the sorrow. So to the degree that we experience closeness with God, we experience the age to come here and now, and to the degree that we experience the age to come, we can experience the comfort of that age. Psalm 23:4 says, your rod and your staff, what do? They comfort me. Is that talking about heaven? No, it's talking about the deepest darkness, the valley of the shadow of death. They comfort me. God comforts us now in the midst of our suffering with his rod and his staff. It's talking about the implements of his shepherding. Let's think through for a second. What are the implements of God's shepherding? What are his rod and staff? Comfort me. The rod and the staff are the implements of God's shepherding that he uses to bring us comfort. And the primary implement of God's shepherding, the primary tool that he uses as a shepherd to bring us comfort, is the Scriptures. The Scriptures. Passages like Psalm 34. And he uses other things as well. He uses the creation. I mean, doesn't he do everything? Isn't he in control of everything in the creation? So that you look around, everything you see is his rod and his staff. More than that, he uses the church. How does he comfort you? I mean, he uses the church. You got a whole kingdom of priests working, using their spiritual gifts to bring grace, deliver grace to you. That's his rod and his staff. He uses your spiritual gifts. He uses the angels, all of whom, Hebrews says, are ministering spirits sent to serve you. He uses the Holy Spirit himself, whom he calls the Comforter. He's called the Comforter. So there are a lot of tools, a lot of things that are God's rod and staff that comfort us, but I say the primary one is the Scripture, because all of those other ones, the way they comfort you is through the Scriptures. None of them are used apart from the truth of God's Word. God's Word is a soothing balm to the troubled soul. It's what you need when you're troubled. That's how he brings his comfort.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series, your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. And if it is, why not tell a friend about the podcast so they can grow too? If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to drop us a line. We'd love to hear from you. Just go to the treasuringgod.com website and click on Contact. There's also a giving tab on that site. We are a crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.